It's a great privilege tonight to have this public lecture by Professor Colin Norman, who, I am proud to say, is one of our most distinguished alumni. He, in fact, did electrical engineering and physics and mathematics to make life more interesting at this university before going on to Oxford as a Rhodes Scholar, and then in a very tortuous way via Moscow and Peking, he ended up in the United States at Johns Hopkins, a famous university there, which, not unlike Melbourne, has a very famous medical school and a very famous physics department, of which he is the professor of astronomy. Professor Norman is indeed one of the world's most distinguished astronomers, very closely connected with the Hubble Space Telescope and its program, and it is indeed a great privilege to have the information directly from the horse's mouth and what's happened with the Hubble Space Telescope, especially since it's been fixed. Professor Norman's lecture is sponsored, in fact his whole visit to Australia is sponsored by the Sydney University Centre for Theoretical Astrophysics, and also Sky and Space magazine. We gratefully acknowledge their contribution to make Professor Norman's visit possible. So I'd like to now invite him to come and talk to us about cosmology, new cosmology from the Hubble telescope. Professor Colin Norman.
Thank you very much, Professor Klein. And I'll now spend my time on telling you about the most interesting results in the last 6 to 12 months from Hubble. So you have 10 times the resolution. Now I should explain to you, just remind you, why Hubble Space Telescope is so good. It has the resolving power. It has, because it's above the atmosphere and is not, the light beam is not distorted by the atmospheric turbulence, it has approximately 10 times the resolution of any telescope on the ground. And that means it's good at looking at fine scale structure, and we'll see that in crowded fields, in very distant objects, in galaxies at the far reaches of the universe. It is not good at looking at low surface brightness objects, very extended low surface brightness objects. For that you need a 10-meter telescope on the ground. We prefer to have one on the moon, but we can't do that right now. But there are two magnificent 10-meter telescopes. One is now working and the second one is being built next to it in Hawaii, funded by the Keck Foundation. It was his income for the year, $100 million that was required for each of them. So when the first one was a success and just gave the next year's income for the second one.
Caltech is very lucky to have such great benefactors. So remember, we're looking for resolution. The other point about the Hubble Space Telescope is that it operates in the ultraviolet. Extremely well. You cannot see the ultraviolet from the ground, and the ultraviolet contains very important resonance lines for which you can do spectroscopy, etc.
And now we're going to the giant Orion Nebula, which many of you know about, which is not so far away. It's a giant cloud in our own galaxy. And what I want to point out is not the magnificent fine-scale structure of 0.06 arcseconds, but Bob Odell's story. Bob Odell was project scientist for almost a decade for Hubble, and he waited to do these observations for almost, if you count his time as project scientist, almost 2 decades. And he found these things. And these are called propolids, he named them. And they may be protoplanetary disks. And one of the great intellectual challenges of our time, more locally, where you're not dealing with the great cosmic questions, is to find the existence of other planetary systems around other stars. And there's many ways to do this, and there's good candidates, etc., but none have been found. And here we have what's called propolids now, where you see extended structures at very high resolution around young stars. And taking the best of them, here is a star of low mass. It's about 1/10 the mass of the Sun. And around it is a disk, which is about 10 times, has total mass of about 10 times the mass of the Earth. It is being illuminated by radiation, not coming from this low mass star, but from the outside, from the general radiation field in that interstellar cloud. So some massive stars are around it and ionizing it from the outside in. But Bob Odell thinks that these are good possibilities as candidates for planet formation. And so we're seeing a protostar possibly in the stage of forming planets. Much more work has to be done on this subject. We're using millimeter interferometers, etc., to determine more about the planet building process, but we are making some progress on this
this truly great intellectual question. My friend Bill Fasty, who got the Hubble Space Telescope Science Institute to Baltimore, has already chosen a name for the planet when he discovers it. He's now 77, and he's been famous for 50 years, and he's spent all his space telescope time on this search for planets, and he's going to call the planet Eden when he finds it. Now we're going to go to the big question, the black holes in cosmology. And since the air conditioning is on, I might. This is M87, Messier 87, which is the central region of a giant elliptical galaxy. And there, from this region here, we see already see on much, much larger scales relativistic jets of material coming out along this axis. And we see very interesting activity and motion in the center. And with the space telescope, they found, now this is not a spiral that's being ejected, this is just the region down here which is blown up. One can see this little spiral disk structure and measure the velocities in it. And using good old Newton's laws and doing spectroscopy on the receding and advancing components of the velocity, you get an idea of the central mass of that object. And it turns out to be 4 billion times the mass of the Sun. And the luminosity in here you think is very bright, but if there were 4 billion suns in there, it would be very much brighter. So in fact, the region right in the center is dark, in fact. And what we're seeing is a dark object of 4 billion times the mass of the Sun. This work has been very long in coming to fruition. Great work was done on it by Peter Young at Caltech, Lowell Sargent, Alan Dressler, etc. And now finally, with the team led by Holland Ford from Hopkins, one has now established that the numbers that the previous authors got were pretty much in the right region, but now from not only just the motions of the gas, but also from stellar dynamics motions and other data, one has a pretty good idea that the mass of this black object in the center is 4 billion. And that is the best candidate for a black hole in our vicinity, in a massive galaxy of that sort of order of magnitude. A lot more work has to be done on this, again, in order to nail down, you know, how close that is to what one would get from a black hole, and there's a lot of theory to be done, etc. But it is comforting that the answer